What is good, everybody? Welcome back to the New Classic Film Photography Podcast. Very excited for today's episode, but before we jump in there, got a couple PSAs for you. First and foremost, the newest batch of EZ 400, that's our black and white film, will be available soon. And we're going to be selling it at a bunch of retailers worldwide. So no matter where you are in the world, you should be able to find a local retailer that can ship it to you very easily, so you don't have to deal with any import fees or customs or any of that stuff. So be on the lookout for that. The other announcement is regarding my YouTube channel, Ribsy. Make sure to get on there and go check out my new series, Feasting on Film. Basically, I walk around, I eat a whole bunch of really good food, show it off, talk about it, and of course, we do some photography. And best of all, I'm featuring a whole bunch of special guests as well throughout the different episodes. So definitely go and check that out. All right, let's go ahead and jump into today's episode.
What's good? What's good, everybody? So we're actually in London here today. We tried to make this happen in person, but I realized I'd never done that. So I had no idea how to even record a podcast in person. So we'll stick to Zoom for now. But I'm very delighted to have Izzy with us here. Izzy, can you just introduce yourself and kind of tell us who you are?
Yeah, sure. My name's Izzy. I live in London, but I actually grew up in Nottinghamshire. Very into analog photography, not professional, but very serious passion. And yeah, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I've listened to a couple before, but I was going back through who you interviewed previously, uh-huh. And I feel pretty honored to be
amongst. Of course. No, I take pride in the roster that I've cultivated. So I'm glad that you found it to be cool. But actually, the way you describe yourself is basically the reason I wanted to have you on here. Because like you said, you take what you do seriously, and analog photography is like a massive passion, but you're not a professional. So you kind of work this into your life, I would assume, in a lot of different ways, all the opportunities you might even get. And we forget about this, but like 99% of the people doing analog photography are in this boat. I feel like they identify just like that. So that's exactly why I want to talk to you, because I feel like, you know, we deserve some of the love. I consider myself to be that as well, even though I do some social media stuff, but you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I'm curious, like I've looked through some of your work, at least the stuff you see on Instagram, which admittedly I should probably look elsewhere because Instagram's not the best representation, but I've had a hard time pinpointing like what kind of photography you do. And that's not a bad thing. Maybe that's actually the answer. But what I want to ask you is like, what is it that you do with photography? Like, what do you like to, like, why do you do analog photography and what are you photographing?
Well, yeah, I guess maybe in terms, you know, what you hear about on Instagram and social media, how they're always like, oh, you should find your niche, blah, blah, blah. But I just feel like you just do, you know, do what you want in terms of photography. Otherwise, what's the point? But I think I mostly do like landscape stuff. Mm-hmm. Like capturing like British landscape. But then I also focus in on like details and nature. And obviously I live in London and I do end up doing a lot of urban shots, but I don't really share them very much. I'm fairly newish to analog photography, mm-hmm. and photography in general. I guess I'm still learning. So like I've only just really started doing a bit of portrait photography, for example, mm-hmm. which I really enjoy, but I've only just started doing it. So I just think I'm probably just quite early on in my photography journey, not to sound super cheesy.
No, it makes sense.
I guess that might be why, if you look at my Instagram, you'll be like, a bit of a mix here, but it's because I'm just trying stuff out, really.
No, I like that. I really do. And it's funny that you led with the idea that like there's this pressure, because you're totally right. The people who apparently know how to grow an Instagram are like, you should have a consistent theme and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But like, I guess it all depends on what your ambitions are. Like if you like photography and you also like to learn, it makes sense as to why you would kind of do a lot of different things. And this country, I feel like, well, let's say England specifically, but I guess the whole of the UK, but the landscapes, you're right. Amazing landscapes, very accessible to the city if you live in the city. But then you also have the city. So you would think street photography, you know, whatever that means. And then there's all these people everywhere, you know, London's extremely dense. So how could you not do all of that? You know, like I don't see how anybody in that situation could just like decide, okay, this is the one thing I'm going to do. Especially if you're not getting paid for it. It's like, well, you know, then do whatever you want.
Yeah, and I think in the photography industry itself, my perception is that a lot of people are like saying, oh, you have to pick your type of photography and stick to it. And it's like, I don't really get, if you're doing it as a hobby, why do you have to do that? Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like a lot of people listening right now are probably nodding and being like, you know what? I kind of feel that way. It's an underrepresented view. But with the learning, how do you kind of approach the learning? I know you can, there's all kinds of resources nowadays, but is there something that's clicked best for you? Like, what do you think is the best way to learn something new?
Well, in terms of photography, it's taken me a really long time to learn how to do it, but I am enjoying learning it slowly. I never really was into digital photography. I kind of went straight to analog.
Oh, wow.
I've had digital cameras, but this was like because of the days before you had decent cameras on your phone.
Yeah.
So it was like basically like a night out.
Gotcha.
Those little tiny
had those. I definitely had one of those in college.
Oh yeah, yeah. I had it for like when I was like first going out and at uni and it's just because my phone I had like a BlackBerry.
Listen, so that counts though. Like having one of these little cameras, like the equivalent is hot now, at least for me. I just bought a point and shoot film camera and I use it the exact same way that I use like my little crappy Sony digital from like 10 years ago.
Oh yes,
you're drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely the Sony digital. That was the big one. Everyone had this Sony digital camera.
And it was like my parents' old one as well. So it was their castle. But it was, I only used it for nights out. Didn't use it for anything else.
Exactly.
And obviously, I guess, as cameras on phones became much better.
Yeah.
I did actually really enjoy that actually. And then I think my best friend who's really into photography and has loads of film cameras persuaded me to get a film camera. And that's how I got into it. That was like 2.5 years ago. I just got a point and shoot. And she actually sat me down one day and I actually asked her to like, just tell me about how photography works, you know, the little aperture, you know, the little triangle that's like the,
the classic, the diagram.
And she told me about it because I didn't know anything about that at all. So, and we were sat in a pub and she just like told me about it and we went for like a little walk and we sort of, so that's actually
how I learned. Amazing. That's an amazing first experience. That's awesome. It's funny. I was doing I've done photography for a long time, but not analog photography, but literally for like, you know, let's say up until like 4 years ago, which is already like, let's say 7 years into me doing photography, I still didn't know what the aperture triangle was or like whatever the proper terminology is for that diagram. So I think analog photography almost forces you to go back and be like, okay, wait a minute. Like before there was digital stuff, like how did this all work? And it's a great way to learn. It really gives you a fundamental like overview of like what is literally happening in photography. You know, it's not just pressing a button.
Yeah, exactly. And she did, I remember her saying, oh, actually one of the best ways to learn about photography is actually from analog because you have you have to think about it more. And I've still got the notes on my phone from when she taught me through like shutter speed, aperture, what it all meant. And I still refer to it every now and again when I'm like, oh, I'm confused. that was like my baseline. And then I just went on and sort of experimented myself and
Have you been bitten by the gear bug? Like you started with that point and shoot. I'm assuming that's not the only thing you have now.
No, that was like that's how I started out. That was my gateway. I've a lot of people have experienced this as well. When someone hears that you have a film camera, they give you
their
own stuff. So my mum's hairdresser gave me his Canon A1.
Wow.
Bunch of lenses, and that's like the camera I use all the time now.
Yeah.
And like I won another point and shoot in a competition. I've been given two other SLRs, which I haven't done anything
you
with
have
yet.
Look. No one's given me shit.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, I don't know what to do with the two that I've been given. Because I don't have the right batteries. They don't have like it's boring, but like, yeah, so people just give you the cameras.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've got like a nice tripod now and things like that.
Nice.
But I'm kind of happy with I mostly use my SLR and my point occasionally. I would quite like to get a medium format camera.
Okay. That's definitely like the next step in the gateway. I feel like we're also cliche, like Everyone has the same exact trajectory.
Yep. Yep. I really want a medium format, but we'll see. I don't have any money right now, so.
Yeah, film's not cheap right now.
Waiting for someone to give me one.
I mean, with your luck, I wouldn't be surprised if someone hands you a medium format camera. Someone's going to listen to this and be like, oh, I've got 7 medium format cameras. Let me just give one away. Why not?
Why do you think I brought it up?
I like it. You're playing mind games. I like it. I like it. So, you know, that's very interesting. I think like that particular journey is a really nice one. I find a lot of people nowadays maybe jump into this kind of backwards, like, or maybe not backwards, that's not the right word, but more like what I was doing, where like, it's almost as if you get bored of digital or someone hands you this like random little hint of analog. They're like, oh, what is that? And then it just becomes more fun than doing digital. So you kind of just leave digital behind.
Who knows? Fun, isn't it? Yeah, that's the thing. That's the main thing about analog photography. I think it's just really fun.
Like, yeah, definitely. Have you tried any darkroom stuff? Are you dabbling in that yet?
No, I've got my own scanner, and okay. So I'm learning that now. It's actually super interesting, I think.
Yeah, of course.
And then I guess the next stage would be developing like black and white photography, and then you know that would be the next thing, I guess. But I don't have room right now, so
fair enough. There's always something else to do, to buy, to make room for. That's kind of the gift and the curse of analog.
Yes.
So I want to ask you about, let's see, how do I phrase this? So going back, I think one of the first times I came across who you were online was actually tied to one of the, I don't know if you call it a letter or an email or whatever it was, but you put something out with regards to Kodak. And I think the topic here, which is a topic that I've talked about a few times on the podcast, is about representation. And representation, you know, comes in a lot of different shapes, sizes, forms. But specifically here, we're talking about representation of women in film photography. Mm-hmm. Like, can you just kind of give some context? Like, how exactly did this play out in your head and then eventually lead to you taking some action?
Yeah, so I think like a lot of women, maybe not just women, to be fair, non-binary folk and some men, mm-hmm. I guess, and sort of noticed that a lot of these sort of Instagram magazines and brands who have Instagram pages and share photographers on their pages, they were sharing predominantly men.
Mm-hmm.
And I just noticed that. And I'd unfollowed a few pages because of that. Because
yeah.
I thought it wasn't, you know, I don't want to do a disservice to the people who do get featured. They are deserving of that feature. But I just, if I'm following those pages, I kind of want some inspiration. And if they're not sharing very many women, I'd probably just be like, oh, unfollow them, you know, follow another page mm-hmm. that does. So I just noticed that in the background, and then on someone's story, Nicole Mejia, mm-hmm. she put on her Instagram story something like, "Oh, we're just waiting for Kodak to post a female photographer." So I was like, "Okay," and I went onto Kodak's page, and yeah, it was like 30 posts in a row were men,
yeah,
and mostly white men as well,
mm-hmm.
and it was like 30 in a row, which is like 2 months worth of posting, probably. Yeah,
that's a lot.
Just consistently, just one after one, all guys. Mm-hmm. And I was just a bit shocked. I went on some other pages just out of curiosity to compare.
Mm-hmm.
They were not great but Kodak were the worst. And I just was a bit angry, and so I wrote this letter on my blog.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back to it like a day or so later, and I added a list of photographers who I loved and followed for a little while, some more recently, but all people who I thought were great. And I just included it as a list at the end of the letter to be like a bit of a tongue in cheek way of being like, oh, Kodak, you're having such an issue.
Here, let me help you.
yeah. Obviously we want them to do the work, but that was the idea of it. And I contacted all the people who I had included, and then I posted it, and it went a bit crazy. It went a bit It got lots of attention. Kodak ended up changing who they're posting. And they did reply to me only by email, not publicly, which was a shame, but you know, it was interesting that they had obviously acknowledged it, said that they would change the content plan. And so far they appear to have done it.
No, well, first and foremost, like, major shout out to you for speaking up, because I know the internet is a very dangerous place in a lot of ways. And like, you put out any thoughts and like, you should just always assume that someone's going to have a problem with it, let alone a lot of people. And like, I've read comments left and right for this particular issue. And like, there's a lot of men who truly just think what you're saying is complete bullshit. I'm not one of those men, but there's a lot of them.
And, oh, I know.
Exactly. I'm sure, you know, you've probably gotten the comments directly. So, you know, first and foremost, like, the courage and like the stamina that it requires to do something like that is massive, and you've got it. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
But I found a couple of things very interesting there. Like, first and foremost, like, you know, it's almost a shame, but it's also kind of like the beautiful thing about how the world works now, that like, you can speak up and you can be the galvanizer, the one who really, like, you know, set, like, I don't know what metaphor I'm looking for, but like, you can kind of, you know, light stuff up to like really, like, you know, start something. And, you know, your post turned into something that a lot of people saw. And then how many other women probably felt compelled to say, you know what, like, yeah, I feel this way too, and I'm going to say something too. That's a beautiful thing. And I think, like, because we live in this day and age, like, you can do stuff like that. But at the same time, like you said, you want them to do the action. So I'm curious to hear, like, how do you feel about the fact that you have power and you have the ability to take action, but at the same time, like, you don't want the onus to be on you as a member of this affected community to be doing the action and doing the work?
Yeah.
How do you navigate that? Where do you think is like the healthy balance?
Well, I think I'm happy to speak up where you need to, but yeah, ultimately you want change to be that these companies actually make a real change, not just like a tokenistic, oh, we're going to post a few women, keep you quiet. I think ultimately I'm quite a positive person, and I ended up talking directly to some of the social media managers of other pages. Mm-hmm. And I can tell from them that they want to do something. And that often they are starting to. It's just that sometimes you need a little bit of pressure from other people.
Yeah.
And ultimately I think you have to remember they are companies. Yeah. Change in society never comes from companies, it comes from people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, in this capitalist world, you know, we're gonna, as consumers of these products, we might have a bit of power if you use it properly. I think I try to present what I was saying, and I don't want to speak on behalf of the people, but I think what a lot of other people are thinking as well, that's just a very reasonable request.
Mm-hmm.
Very common sense. It's and I think it genuinely is a very reasonable request.
Yeah.
Women are half the world. and I think if you put it in those terms, it's sort of these companies, it's hard for them to say no.
Yeah.
I think.
No, that makes sense. And you talk about numbers, so obviously women are half the world. When you, this is something I personally very interesting, because for example, I look at my own YouTube statistics, like my viewers, I think at the very best, based on YouTube's data, I think maybe 10% of my audience is women. Mm-hmm. And I trust that a good deal just because Google like knows everything about everybody. So I figure, you know, that's as accurate as it's going to get. But that makes me think, like, I'd be stupid to think that like only 10% of the people that shoot film are women. Like, it just, that community has to be bigger. It seems to be bigger based on what I've seen. And if you look at, for example, the communities that have been built by women on Instagram, for example, I'm thinking of, what's the one? It was Danielle Robleski and Chris.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. But they came together and created, yes, that's it. Thank you. I don't know why I was blanking. You know, that grew very quickly. And obviously, like, not everyone following that is a woman. But like, I feel like that shows that there is a mass of like excited, engaged women that are just ready for like the community to like not only accept them, but like actually make them a key part and like, you know, galvanize them the way that I think the men are naturally feel like they, because you don't have to galvanize the men. It's just everything's kind of designed for them, you could say, in a way. So yeah, ultimately, like the numbers thing, especially when you think about it from a capitalistic perspective, like the consumer base for Kodak and for other film companies is not like 100% men. It's not 90% men. You know, I don't know what the number is, so I'm not going to put myself on the hook. But all I know is that there's enough of a mass there that like you have to pay attention to that, and you have to ensure that like that is represented in your outreach. But a lot of people really break it down to the numbers game, and you know, maybe somebody has hard data. Maybe Kodak has hard data about their own consumer base, but I haven't seen it. But without seeing it, I feel like it's still obvious. It's like, come on, you got a lot of very talented women doing some really cool stuff out there. Mm. Like, you know, just try a little bit harder.
I think it's really hard to know what the numbers are.
Yeah.
And I mean, because especially if you're thinking of the not just professional level, just any level, because obviously there's statistic for professional level, but there's not the same for obviously just regular Joes. So it's really hard to know. And I guess that a lot of these companies, I'm sure maybe the fact is a lot more men do submit photos to their pages.
Yeah.
But I don't buy the fact that there's 30 more men. There's 30 men for every woman submitting a photo.
Yeah, exactly.
If you click on their hashtag or their tag posts, like
back
in August when this all kicked off, you could find so many women. So I was like, there's something else going on here. It's sort of how you're judging photos or...
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah. So I think there's more to it than that. But yeah, I don't know. I think even if there are more people submitting photos, these pages need to be questioning, why aren't we attracting people that use our film to sort of submit photos and put themselves out there? Why, what is it that, and it might be the fact they're showcasing more men, it might be deterring people.
fair enough. Yeah. I mean, it almost like, it like causes itself. It's like almost self-fulfilling. It's like, oh, there's no women being posted, so why would I even bother putting that in there? It's not going to get showcased anyways. You know, I totally get that. But yeah, I find it really interesting that you looked at the numbers, not only what they were posting, but like what's in the hashtags and like what's kind of going on. Cause it really does help you understand the landscape. And yeah, I mean, that's the kind of evidence, again, a lot of people would deny what you're saying based on evidence that they do or don't have. Mm-hmm. But like you looked at numbers, you know, and there was an effort to like take what you're seeing versus what the data, quote unquote, could be showing.
Yeah.
And it seems to be pretty clear that like, no, there's a massive opportunity here. Like,
you
need to jump on it.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm curious, what kind of actions do you think beyond Instagram, what do you think are ways that the community can actually like be way more inclusive and really like, you know, interact and kind of really build and thrive and make this community thrive?
Well, I guess what I would really like to see is more guys calling out like these pages and magazines for just featuring women, just featuring men, sorry. Or just featuring one type of person, you know.
Sure.
This conversation does go beyond gender. So it'd be great to see other people just calling that out, I think, other than just like, there are loads of other magazines out there who just are really bad. They just don't seem to want to feature women. They always use this excuse of there are just more male photographers. And I just think, So I'd like to see that. And then also just like supporting each other by like on podcasts and stuff, like being a bit more conscientious about who you're inviting and who you're talking to.
Yeah.
And so you're helping other people be put out there, I guess.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that I do take pride in having that be part of how I operate this enterprise. And by enterprise, that's, I'm being, trying to be funny here, this is not an enterprise. But yeah, I like, there is effort that's required if you care about this as a topic, just the same way as if you care about literally anything else. You're going to put work in towards, you know, achieving this thing that you care about, whether it's making money or whether it's like actually growing like a diverse fan base that you know, you actually make feel included. And it has not been difficult to find to find guests of like all kinds of different walks of life. To be fair though, I also like, I benefited from a lot of the work that you and other women have done specific to inviting women on the podcast, because like you're doing the work for free. And I say that like in a good way and a bad way, you know, like if someone wanted to pretend to care about this issue, like all they have to do is go on your Instagram and like be like, all right, these are the people I'm going to like talk to and engage with. And, you know, like I said, you're doing a lot of the work, which is amazing, because it really, I think if you can feel assured in one thing, and I think perhaps I can vouch for this, is that a lot of men have gotten to know a lot of fantastic women artists via a lot of the commentary and a lot of the posts that you and other women on the platform have done. And it's been massive. Like I've discovered so much work myself. And, you know, I repost these things. I've got my own audience and people, you know, it's a chain effect. It's how the internet is. So, I guess massive thanks again for, you know, speaking up, but that makes a huge difference. It shouldn't be exhausting though. And it shouldn't be like a fight per se, but, it's not hard to like, you know, do this if people actually care.
No. And I think it becomes easy. Like you put in a bit of effort and you have to have a bit of intention sometimes. And this is the point I was trying to make to some of the other brands and pages. Like you can't just passively sort of wait for people sometimes to submit. You might actually have to actively go out and seek talented photographers to feature, because past behavior might have deterred them, or for whatever reason, there might be other factors at play that prevent certain people from, you know, participating or being successful in photography. I've completely forgotten what I was going to say.
Well, I think I'll just summarize it as you like being intentional. You have to put in
a certain amount
of effort to start.
But when you do it, I think once you've done it, you follow one person and they share people on their page, and you just find more people and perspectives, and it's just a really positive thing. And I don't understand people that put a negative on it, because it's just a really good thing to be more inclusive. And
there's room for everybody. You know, it's not like you're asking for money, you know, because if it was money, like there is not money for everybody, but like, you know, attention online, like the internet is so massive. So I don't want to get into that part of it, because that takes us into a different kind of discussion about psychology and, you know, masculinity and this and that. But like, yeah, I think to summarize what I think in one sentence, and then we don't talk about it after, is I think a lot of people do feel self-conscious and threatened by this challenge, because it's almost as if it's taking something away from them, or, you know, it's like, I don't know what the opposite of validating is, but it's unvalidating potentially, like what they do in their art or whatever. Again, that's a different kind of podcast. I'm no expert there, but no, I think to end here, I think ultimately, you know, there might be times where this feels draining and daunting and, you know, other kind of negative things, but I think everything everyone's been doing has really made a difference, like a massive difference. And, you know, one version of that is seeing it manifest on Kodak's Instagram page. But I think more importantly is seeing like other men like now interact with women online when it comes to photography, and like think about how they're putting stuff out and how they speak to people, and whether they're actually being inclusive or they're just kind of propagating. I know personally, I know men who have, you know, changed how they think because of this. So, you know, it's a long battle. I don't think this will ever end, but at least it looks like, you know, it's moving in the right direction, at least from my point of view.
Yeah, definitely. And thanks for that. That's made me feel quite good.
No, definitely. It seeing the results is important, because you can bang your head against the wall for a whole year, and then it's like, wait, what did I do this for? Like, how do I even know that this is like working, you know?
I just wanted to add as well, that loads of other women obviously talking about this way before that Kodak letter, Danielle mentioned her about 5 times now, but she, obviously the stuff she said about the YouTube YouTubers and stuff, and there's just been many other people saying stuff before this. You just have to look at the Kodak comments from back before August, and you can see people in the comments sort of saying stuff. When are you gonna show someone who's not a white dude?
Like, yeah, yeah, No, and yeah. Kodak's taking the brunt of this. I know that's the name we keep mentioning here, but it's not a Kodak problem. I don't want to pretend this is just Kodak. This is, I mean, if we exit photography, I guess you can say this is an everything problem, you know.
It is an everything problem. And Kodak was just like one particular example that was bad. And that's why I did a follow-up post that was shone a bit of a light on some of the other brands, because I did think it's not just Kodak. It's not other people as well.
Yeah, no, we obviously need Kodak. We love Kodak, but that doesn't mean they can't do better, just like everybody.
We need them.
nowadays, especially, like, Fuji's not looking so hot, you know, so Kodak's all we got left. Yep. Shout out to Ilford, though. Ilford will always be there for us. They're not going.
Yes, definitely. Mammography, Denise, Bill.
Cool. Well, you know,
please don't come.
I don't want to bang this issue over the head anymore. I think we've said our piece. I want to go back to you, the photographer, you know, the kind of every person, the peer. I think that's how I referred to you earlier when we were texting. You're my photography peer. And I'm just curious, as in the position you're in, kind of as a passionate photographer who doesn't do this professionally, like, are there goals that you have for yourself? And how do you kind of, I like, psychologically, I'm curious, from your point of view, how do you just deal with, like, validating what you're doing, like, in the long run? Like, does it matter at all? Does it not? If it does, you know, how do you think about that?
Well, I mean, and I'm guessing you're kind of referring to, like, monetizing it.
I mean, I wasn't thinking about monetizing. The thing I was explicitly thinking about was, like, doing an art show or, like, making a book. But, you know, monetizing is obviously another potential outcome. But I'm curious, like, are any of those relevant to you? Because there's, like I said, the 99% of us, you know, we're not professionals. So we do it because we like it. But there's a lot of pressure when you look at the internet and see what some other people are doing. You're like, damn, if I'm not doing this particular version of photography and this outcome, like, you know, I suck, or like, my photography is worthless, or blah, blah, blah. Like, how do you just think about that as a human that does photography? What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know. I guess I am really happy with it as a hobby right now. I feel like I'm still learning. Like, I feel like I really only got into it properly with the lockdown, because I got my Canon A1 like nearly 2 years ago, and I started using it as the lockdown. So I feel like I've not really taken my camera anywhere.
The
things I want to try and photograph, and I'd like to try medium format, like we said before. And so I feel like there's still lots for me to learn, and I'm just really happy about it being a hobby. The only thing is, I guess I didn't have a huge following before the whole Kodak thing, and it's grown. And now it's like a bit of a weird pressure to feel like I've got to every photo I post has to be amazing. And I'm trying to be like, I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because, like, I like it. And, like, I'll just be honest. Like, I don't think it's like my favorite, but, and it, ironically, it's always the photos you think aren't great that get the most likes and comments. It's weird. trying to think about it too much, because social media gives me an existential crisis, like, every day.
Yeah.
But I'm happy with it. Yeah, being a hobby right now. Maybe it'd be nice to monetize it a little bit, like, make some money from it passively, like print or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I keep seeing NFTs everywhere.
Of course.
NFTs, what is that? it feels like I should know about it, but I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm getting at. Like, there's so many things that take you, like, out of the actual creating of the images, and it's all these other layers. And it's like, damn, should I even be doing that stuff? Like, what if I'm happy just, you know, shooting my little camera that cost me $5 and, you know, I'm and just, like, you know, just looking at my photos online, like, I'm cool with that. I'm sure there's a lot of people who just, like, they don't care, but they feel like they maybe should because of everything they see online. And even I feel that way. Like, I'm doing a lot of different things, but then I'm like, it's not enough. There's always something else. And I'm like, no, stop.
Never enough.
I don't have to do that. You are enough. You know, giving myself a pep talk.
Yeah, that's it. And it's just it's that pressure of social media, isn't it? It's just so hand in hand with photography now, like Instagram and other types of social media. It's definitely part of it. And it makes you feel like you have to be doing a particular thing. And I don't know, sometimes that might take the enjoyment out of it sometimes. I often have to have breaks from social media because I just think it's not great for feeling creative sometimes.
No, that's good. I think that's a pro tip. The taking a break, like, you can't, I feel like no one can stress that enough. If you need it, just do it. But I like what you said earlier, in terms of learning, like, I feel like that's a worthwhile thing to always, like, feel like there's something else. You don't have to keep learning if you don't want to, but I don't think there's negatives to always learning something new about your camera, new cameras, a new process. Because analog, that's my favorite thing about analog, is that just when you think you know, whatever it is that you know, there's always something else. And it's fun. It's nice to know that, like, oh, this is something I could probably do forever. And it'll always be engaging.
Yeah, I've never had a hobby that I've felt like this before. And it's like, it's slightly frustrating that I came to it kind of so late. Almost. Then you can't regret that, can you? Like, it is what it is.
And you know why it's so frustrating, though? Because it's existed in the background literally the entire time we've all been alive. And, like, if anything, like, when we were kids, it was, like, in its prime. Like, everything you could ever want existed. And it was there in plentiful amounts. And, like, you know, there was the world was your oyster at that point. And now, you know, when you're like, oh, I like film photography, there's, like, nothing left.
Yeah, you feel like you're just, like, jumping on, like, a hype or something, which... Yeah. Maybe it's that a little bit. Although I feel like I don't feel like I was totally aware that it was a hype when I bought that my little point and shoot. But, like, you know, whatever, you guess, like, it's a thing now, and it's hopefully the companies will pick up on that. It's coming back.
Like, we have money to spend. You know what I'm saying? Like, take my money. It's almost as if people don't want our money. Take our money, please. We've got it. We want to spend it. Make us happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think that's a great note to end on. I appreciate you being candid with us about your experience, but I think ultimately what I find more interesting was just your thoughts as, like, another normal person who does photography. Because, like I said, there's so many of us, but, like, we tend not to focus on them when I feel like their experiences might be the most valuable of all, honestly. So anyways, thank you for joining. I hope you enjoyed this chat, and look forward to meeting you at some point. I know we don't live that far away. We gotta, maybe on one of the next photo walks or something.
Oh, that would be awesome. And yeah, thanks for having me. It was really fun.
Of course.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I definitely had a great time talking to Izzy. And honestly, the prospects of recording a podcast in person are pretty cool. I'm going to have to educate myself a bit there, because now that we can kind of move around a little bit more easily, definitely a whole bunch of cool people in London and, of course, in New York that I want to talk to. And since I'm doing a bit of traveling, you know, maybe we might do something on the road as well. If you got any suggestions for any cool guests, definitely let me know, because I am open-minded and want to hear from you. Just hit me up on Instagram, send me a DM. All right, y'all, till the next episode. I'm out.